Hey, folks, this is Hannes Finney from the Storyworthy Podcast, and we want to thank you for your support. We want to thank you for listening. And you know what? The only way for us to grow is for you to tell your friends, tell your family, tell people you don't even like. We need you to get the word out there about Storyworthy. And we thank you.
We thank you.
We thank you.
This episode of Storyworthy is brought to you by GoDaddy. Don't let someone steal your great idea. Register a domain name now and put your idea online. GoDaddy's offering one new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. So whether you're building your dream business or starting a website for fun, visit GoDaddy.com and enter the code STORY295 at checkout. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Don't forget, you guys, visit GoDaddy.com and enter the code STORY295 at checkout, and you are supporting this podcast.
Hi, this is Amber Tozer, and you're listening to Storyworthy. Ouch!
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we are at the Griffith Observatory in Griffith Park in Los Angeles. Why, you may ask?
Because there are many, many coyotes in Griffith Park.
Exactly, and that is our topic today, coyotes.
That's right. Our guest tonight, Amber Tozer, she brings forth the topic, coyotes.
Yes.
Now, Amber's been on the show before.
She has. She could not look up from tweeting. She would not make eye contact with us because she's all young and hip.
Now, but, you are so jealous of her youth. You're jealous of
I'm jealous of her tweeting.
You're jealous of her ability to gain an audience.
Yes, I am certainly jealous of that because I send out one tweet every 3 months and then I'm like angry that people don't retweet it. Although I've had some, I'll say this. I have recently had people that I don't know who they are who follow me who have retweeted tweets I put out.
Well, and it is honest, an odd experience.
I know that's
fans.
What's supposed to happen, but I'm like, oh, it worked.
Well, you
see
that feeling? Now you take that and do it 10 times a day. Then you get that dopamine. It keeps hitting you. What do you think we're doing out here?
It sounds like you're describing masturbation. Oh, see, there you go.
Okay, Amber Tozer. So she's a very funny writer, a great comedian, and she brings forth the topic coyotes. And boy, that's an easy topic here in Los Angeles.
Yes. I didn't really understand like how coyotes just fucking come out of. I used to dog walk a friend's dog near where you live now in Las Feliz, and I was just walking this dog, and suddenly I look over and go, "Oh, there's another dog across the street. Oh, I wonder if it's in its yard because there's no leash." And then I realized there are three dogs.
Right.
I realized they're coyotes, and they're giving us the death stare.
Right.
Like, this is an urban environment. They've come out of a park, crossed one of the busiest streets in Los Angeles. And are hunting for cats.
Well, they're actually called urban coyotes. I mean, yeah. they are completely fearless of people. They walk down the street like they own the flipping thing. I mean, they are very, very bold.
Yeah.
And
they're like Henry Winkler.
They've completely lost their fear of humans. What does that
like
have to do with
Fonz,
Henry Winkler?
Those young toughs in their leather jackets and their greasy hair, they walk down the street like, "Hey, man, we own this place."
I think that was more like a fox than a coyote. Do you know what I mean?
It's a coyote.
All right, here's the thing, you guys. The urban coyotes, the problem is the situation is further worsened by people intentionally or unintentionally feeding the coyotes. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now you're hiking, you're not far from your house, or you're walking down the street, you throw an apple core. You know what that says?
That says, "Hey, I'm a source of food.
Come eat me, Mr. Coyote."
Yeah, exactly.
You have a cat. You keep your cat outside. Guess what? It's not going to last.
Yeah.
Cats and dogs in Los Angeles, if they're small enough, and you let them out, there's a good chance they will be
eaten. And then people also live in these areas that have only been built up in the past 10 or 15 years where they're like, it was wild forever, thousands of years, and then they put a subdivision.
Right.
And all of a sudden people are like, "I don't understand why a coyote came in." And the coyote's like, "What the fuck are you doing in my yard?"
Now, one time I was living all the way down on Lyman Place by Hollywood Boulevard, so it was like maybe 10 blocks from the park.
Yeah.
Pretty far from the park.
Yeah, far.
And there was a coyote outside of Carolyn's window. Carolyn, you know, our girlfriend who lived below me.
Yeah.
Outside of her window, eating a cat in the middle of the night, like chomping on its head on the sidewalk. And Carolyn looks out because she hears, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
She looks out. Coyote's got the cat, you know, by the head, eating it. In the morning, we look out. or when we go outside on the sidewalk, all there is like the head of a cat and like this spine, like this whole thing. It was like it was make believe. It was like a prop,
right? Like I was
dead
a movie.
Cat prop. Yeah. It was so disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. No, again, I don't think people are getting how where you were was like right off Hollywood Boulevard, like it was gritty and dirty, and there was a car dealership.
A day, right.
Yeah, it's like the most urban place you can think of, and those freaking coyotes come in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now here's something. When Amber brought this topic, coyotes, I start thinking about this guy I play tennis next to. Now it's not my tennis partner. I don't even know this man's name, but he's been playing next to me on the courts for years, 5 or 6 years. And here's the thing:
Wild E. Coyote.
The tennis courts where we play, it's called Vermont Canyon. It's way up in the park in Griffith Park, and it's just canyons all the way around, okay? There's no roads. It's just canyons. Everybody sees coyotes. I mean, it's not like, oh, I saw a coyote. It's like, of course you saw a coyote because there's one there and there's one over there. I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
There's signs up there that say, keep your dog on a leash. Keep your dog on a leash. There's signs everywhere.
Yeah.
But this guy, this tennis guy, he won't do it. He will not put his dog on a leash. And while he's playing tennis, he allows his fluffy white dog that looks just like Benji run up and down the trails and in the canyons. Okay, now this inevitably leads to a confrontation from a hiker or a jogger. And the tennis guy. So it goes like this. It goes, hey, is this somebody's dog? Whose dog is this? Hey, whose dog is this? And then he'll say, it's mine. Hey, well, you might want to put him on a leash because, you know, there's coyotes all over here. Yeah, I got it. No, really, you might want to put your dog on a leash. Fuck you. Well, fuck you. So this happens.
Every single time.
This happens. I swear to God, I hear that conversation every week. And it's like he wants to, A, murder his dog. B, he wants to have this confrontation with people.
Yeah.
It's the strangest thing. Like,
okay, I think that he's angry. He wants to have the confrontation, and I think it's his wife's dog. And I think he hates the dog. That's got to be. He's got to hate the dog. Otherwise, there's no way that he would let this happen.
I think, but he just wants to fight with people. Like, well, he knows somebody's going to say something.
Yeah.
It's but really strange.
There's easier ways to fight with people than using your dog. And by the way, the dog is still alive. So for all we know, this is some like kryptonite dog that has super strength or something. Because it's still around.
One time when I was hiking up in the park, I was coming up the road by the golf course. And some guy was running down with his dog in his arms, bloody, screaming, my dog, who had just been bit.
Yeah, that sucks.
Now, due to their small size, coyote attacks tend to be a greater threat to children than they are to adults. Did you ever hear of a coyote attacking a child, Hans?
Yes.
This happens. Their bushy tails make them look quite large, but actually they only weigh up to about 35 pounds.
The children?
No, coyotes.
Oh, okay.
But 35 pounds is more than a kid, isn't it?
Well, and it's like, you know, if you ever, you know, been bitten by anything, it's like the amount of strength that any animal has in its jaws is like beyond the grip of anyone's hand or anything.
Yeah.
It's like crazy.
Okay, I'm going to read you
a couple. So if you ever get into an accident or a fight, by the way, bite the person.
Bite the person.
They will fucking let go of you. If you bite someone and draw blood, I think they're going to be like, you're fucking out of your mind.
I heard one time if you're being attacked by a shark, to bite it between the eyes. Is that possible?
I've heard you punch it between the eyes. Punch it in the nose.
Punch it in the nose.
Yes.
I'm gonna put that in my noggin.
Yeah, now that's, you know, easier said than done. the water is filled with blood and urine. I'm not saying whose. And you're like, I think I'll punch it in the nose. It seems unlikely somehow.
Okay, let me give you a couple of coyote attacks here in Los Angeles. Just I find it fascinating. This is a while back, July 2001. A coyote bit a 3-year-old Irvine boy in the leg while he was playing in his yard. The boy was saved by his father. October 2001. In San Clemente, a coyote attacked 3 children playing on a schoolyard, biting and scratching an 8-year-old girl on the back and neck and a 7-year-old on the back and arm. A 3rd student was also attacked, but the coyote only bit his backpack. Oh, shit. That would be scary, right?
Yeah, but it was that backpack from Dora the Explorer, so it was like, help me! Help me!
In November 2001, a coyote that a San Diego family had been feeding, bit their 8-year-old daughter. Of course it did. December 2001, in San Gabriel, a coyote bit a 3-year-old girl in the head, grabbed her shoulder, and started to drag her away.
No.
Who was chased off by her father. Here's one in May in Anza Borrego Park. Have you ever been there, San Diego?
No, but
Anza
I'm not
Borrego
going
Park.
Now.
A coyote bit a boy who was sleeping in his sleeping bag on the head. Dragged him out of the tent. Ugh. Here's one.
So just don't July go camping. This is what. Stay out of the fucking woods.
Well, how about this? Here's a boy walking his family's two dogs when they were all attacked by three coyotes. One dog was killed and the other was injured before they were rescued by the father. And then just round off this good news. In August of 2003 in Apple Valley, a coyote attacked a four-year-old boy on a golf course. So that's golfing, biting him on the face and the neck before he was saved by his father.
Just stay inside, people.
Can there be any good from coyotes? What is the good?
No, I suppose that if you were to, like, try... Yes, it is amazing to me that they don't have any control over the... I mean, Griffith Park is a gigantic wild space.
It's the largest urban park in the United States.
They would make some effort to control the coyote population. But, of course, if that happened, PETA would get involved.
Then you're going
to
hear about, yeah, from the other side. And they are very beautiful. One thing with coyotes, you always know right away that it's not a regular dog because they don't have on the collar, do
yeah,
they,
Yeah, but you know who had the best uniforms in World War II? The Nazis. Those guys were sharp.
Yeah.
But see, they were bad. You can't go by appearances.
So you're talking about a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Ooh, I like that. No, I'm talking about how a wolf is hot, but you know, but he'll eat your fucking head.
Hey, listen, you guys, coyotes. This is a great topic. I'm really thrilled that Amber brought it to us.
I know. Let's hope that it wasn't her child who was dragged out of the sleeping bag, because that's really going to make things awkward.
I don't think she has children. That's what I think.
Not anymore. Not
since
the
coyotes.
She's from
Colorado, and they've got coyotes there, too.
Do they? But they're all high.
Ladies and gentlemen,
like,
hey folks,
Dave's not here, man.
If you want to support the podcast, that'd be great. Here's the best way to do it. You tell a friend about our show. That's what you do.
I know, seriously. Email the link. Just share it on Facebook. You don't have to email shit.
It's
you know
so
what?
Easy to
just
hear the show, you guys. You hear it on Stitcher. You hear it on Swell. You hear it on Antenna. You know how I watched the show the other night? I watched it on my Apple TV. You can go to on Apple TV, you go to podcasts.
Yep.
Now, there's nothing to see but our picture, but who doesn't want to look at that? And then you hear the show. So my daughter rolls her eyes. She's like, Mama, on TV? Please.
Right. Like, I got to listen to you already.
You know what,
now.
Alabama? It's coming. You'll see.
Yeah.
That's the future. The story
I know. We're
going
to have to put up, like, maybe we should put up a picture of a coyote with this one. So when you listen to this one on your Apple TV, there'll be a picture of a coyote.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, stay tuned because Amber Tozer is on her way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have author Lee Koechner.
I'll be talking about spirituality.
That's next week on Storyworthy. Put some money in the plate.
Hey, folks, guess what? Storyworthy is now dropping twice a week.
Twice? What, does this mean more work?
It's a little bit. It's double the work is what it is, actually.
Oh.
But two brand new true stories coming at you every week from the Storyworthy podcast.
I guess that is good because that's twice as much me.
Twice as much me.
I'm sorry, my earphones are cutting out. What did you say?
Hey,
I
folks,
just heard it was
listen
me.
Listen in. Twice a week, Storyworthy will be coming at you.
Twice a week. Twice.
This is Vito Lapicola from Comics on Comics, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We're now in the Leonard Nimoy Event Horizon Theater at the Griffith Park Observatory. Leonard Nimoy gave money to the renovation of
he did. You know, I'm a friend of the observatory. I don't mean to, you know, throw that out there, but I am. In fact, I'm a friend of the observatory. I can see all the poor planetarium shows anytime I want.
Awesome.
Well, that makes me feel bad that I say they're poor, but they are.
Between your medical marijuana card and that, I say it's a good Friday night.
Listen, no, they've got like five or seven shows up there running, okay?
Right.
But there's like three of them that are so bad, I'm embarrassed for the planetarium. I have written letters and saying, you got to stop this. Because they're like the old school, it's like the planetarium show from 1975.
I don't know.
Some
somehow
of their shows.
To me that seems
some
like...
Some of them are good. Some of them are just outdated. They just need to, you know... Welcome to...
Well, they're still calling Pluto a planet or something.
Yeah.
They're still wrong,
oh,
you know?
My goodness.
You know, when Jesus created the Earth, it's a little old school for me.
But I'll say, the place is filthy with coyotes. I'll say that.
Yeah, filthy with coyotes.
All right, you guys.
That, by the way, is the name of my first band, Filthy with Coyotes.
That's not a bad name.
That's not a bad name at all.
All right, you guys, she's here right now. Amber Tozer. She's a writer and a comedian, and she was on Last Comic Standing. Do you remember that, Hannes?
I do.
She was so cute on that. She's tiny as a button and
tiny
this long,
as a button,
beautiful
and
hair.
She's wearing
adorable.
An adorable shirt with a logo. I don't understand what it is.
Amber is known for her web series, Knit Twits.
Oh.
Knit Twits, which is described as a sketch comedy web series inspired by the funniest tweets. There that kind of writes itself, I would think, right?
Exactly.
Nit Twits. And also, she's developing an animated series called The Tozer Show. You can find her on Twitter, where she's very popular.
Yes.
At Amber Tozer. So, folks, wherever you are, put your hands together for Amber Tozer.
Thank you. Hi. Hi. So, this was probably 5 years ago, and I was dog sitting my friend's parents' dog. They're an older couple, retired, and they were going on like a 10-day trip to Europe. And I was in, they live in Encino, sort of west of the 101, and it's their backyard, beautiful big backyard, and then there's a fence, and then it sort of dips down into a canyon. And they had a small dog latte. It's a Bichon, those little puffy, I don't know if it's a poodle, a poodle breed, but tiny white dog and super hyper and cute. And so I was there for a few days and everything was going great. And I mean, it was pretty simple. It's a tiny dog. I didn't really have to walk it. So I would just open up the sliding glass door and let it go out to the bathroom. So, and this couple loves this dog because both their kids moved out. No, they have three kids. All their kids. So this dog is their child. And you know, you can tell, I feel like, you can tell how much a dog owner loves their dog just by the way their eyes twinkle when they talk about it. So their eyes are like, they're explaining everything and they're just like full of love for this dog. Oh, and I, so I was a little nervous. I was like, all right, it's nerve wracking to be a dog sitter because it's very important. It's almost like babysitting a child. So anyway, so I'm at their house and it was about, it was probably 5 o'clock. The sun was setting, 5 or 6 o'clock. And, I let Latte out to go to the bathroom. I just open up the sliding glass door and then the Latte runs out into the backyard. And then I hear this horrible screeching sound. And I knew the dog was getting attacked, and I run out there, and there's a coyote with Latte limp in its mouth, just like dangling. Latte's dangling, eyes closed. I'm like, oh my, he's already dead. And I'm trying to talk. The coyote was across the yard. They had a pool, so it was on the other side of the pool. So I was like walking towards this coyote, sort of pleading with it, like, please, please, coyote, please. Please drop the dog. And I'm talking to it as if it was a human. And coyotes are very scary when you get up close and they're looking at you because, and he was, the coyote was super, super scrawny and you could just tell it was just, I wasn't going to win this battle. So I wanted to chase it a little bit just because I wanted to see if something would happen. So I started to chase the coyote and he ran down into the canyon and I'm standing there in the backyard. I can't see them anymore. I don't hear anything. And I'm just standing there and I just think this is it. You know, what am I going to tell these people? My heart sank. I was flipping out and, I think I had quit drinking like 6 months before. It was early on in sobriety, and I walked in and they had this liquor cabinet, and I was like, I get to drink over this. It was insane because I really did. I was like, this is a perfect excuse. I get to have that entire bottle of whiskey over this because I can't handle what just happened. So I'm sitting there thinking like, all right, I think I'm going to have a drink of alcohol. And then I hear clink, 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 clink. I hear dog tags clinking and clanking. And I walk out to the backyard and Latte comes like bounding up through the garden. They had this beautiful garden. It was like slow motion. Latte is like jumping around in these flowers. And I'm like, what? Oh my God. What? And he runs up and I am like petting him and just checking him out. And he just had a little pierce on his neck, like a little bloody hole, like a tiny, tiny, tiny hole from the coyote's teeth. And then shit everywhere. Like he just shit everywhere. Like shit was all over his body. So I think he shit his pants. And, So I don't know if that's why what happened down there, because I want to know what happened in that minute where I was about to relapse. I want to know how he got loose. I don't know if the coyote was like, "Ew, you stink. This is disgusting," or I sort of think that Latte was playing dead, and there was a fence. So maybe while the coyote was trying to negotiate the fence, there was a moment where Latte got free. But oh my God, it was amazing. It was a miracle. And then I called their daughter, the owner's daughter, because I was friends with her, and told her what happened. And she met me at the vet. And fine. Latte is completely fine. Nothing wrong. Just that little, nothing really. And the vet was like, "I can't believe it. This never happens, especially with a dog this size. We've never had a story like this." And, then I didn't tell I don't think the owners found out till I got – I don't think their daughter and I decided not to tell them. And then when they got back, I told them what happened. And then they gave me an extra $100.
I was so scared for that latte.
Oh.
I was terrified.
See, this is the thing about – like I was saying about the – like Encino is built up into the hills. It's like that isn't an official park. A lot of Los Angeles is wild. It's not like New York City or Chicago. People, they don't live here. They don't understand how the city is really surrounded and in the center of, like, that's a caramel filling of wildness.
Right.
Like
we're in their home.
Caramel filling of wildness.
What I'm saying is it's not like they're, it's just on the outside. It's like the city surrounds big, wild, open spaces.
Right.
And, like, there just happens to have not been – they happen to have not been developed yet, but they're developed up to the edge of. So these people probably lived in the hills,
yeah.
I assume. Yeah, they lived in the hills. And it's like, you know, the yeah. The, well, you know, like, I think the dog brilliantly – see, nature is so smart. He did play dead because he made a sound, and then you came out, and you're like, "Oh, my God, he's dead." It was too soon. So he's like, "I'm going limp," because, like, if Shaquille O'Neal decided to drag me somewhere – my only chance would be I'm going to go limp and then wait for him to loosen his grip on me.
Right.
So it's like,
nice,
and that's
Shaquille O'Neal reference.
It's an ongoing, you know, dream that I have, but that's not what we're here to discuss.
No,
I'm just saying brilliantly, the dog was like, "I'm going to go limp."
Right.
This under, you know, malnourished, stupid coyote is going to let go of me and I'm going to run.
Because it couldn't have been dead from the moment it went squeak, you know, it squealed.
Yeah.
And the moment you ran outside, it couldn't have been dead that fast anyway.
Well, I don't, you know, well, you don't know. That's
you don't know
thing,
how long it was going on. Yeah. Well, no, I believe dead. That you, yeah.
I mean, you don't know if that was his last squeak ever.
Right, right.
Because he broke his neck or whatever.
And so, and coyotes, when you were looking for the word, you said you got close to it. It's looking to you in its eyes and it's scrawny. And I think the word you were looking for is that they're desperate.
Yeah.
Coyotes are desperate.
And they'll do, and it's their desperation is much bigger than my desperation, I guess, because I thought I'm not going to, the first
he has
thing,
nothing
thought,
to lose, and you have your own life to lose.
Yeah, I just knew by the look in that coyote's eyes that I was not going to be able
Did
to
Did the
get
owners
that dog.
Of that dog ever say anything about, like, "Hey, be careful when you let her out"? Or "Be careful, you know, you got to watch her," or something like that?
Yeah, they did. They told me. But then they said, "Just let her out." You know, they said, "There's coyotes around here, but, you know." But they said, "When you let her to the bathroom, just let her go in the backyard." But I don't.
They are most often out at dawn and dusk, for sure.
Yeah, I think it was the timing.
And I just think in the end, when you were ready to grab that drink, it just seems like a metaphor that God was looking after you, Amber. I mean, that's fucking huge. You could have been on some sort of crazy downward spiral. No, but I mean, what if you had drunk that alcohol? You could have had a big problem. I mean, you would have gone right back to the beginning, right?
Right, right,
isn't
right.
that how it works? With
and then you'd be calling the daughter going, "I don't know how it happened, but a coyote almost killed Latte. Have you been drinking? Only since he was attacked."
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, that's how it works.
Blame you for it.
You would fall off the wall. You could have.
Yeah, I still don't know if I would have, but I was really like, "Oh, this is a good enough excuse." That's what I thought.
Yeah. And then you hear that tinkling of the dog tags.
Yeah.
That was a brilliant moment.
My favorite was how he went through the garden, because there was this patch of garden, not a big garden, but that's the patch that he
came up into.
Jumped into.
He must have thought, like, did I drink that bottle? Am I hallucinating?
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute.
That's a fantastic story.
Yeah, it was so, oh my God.
And now, for the rest of your life, you can only order latte. Is that true?
Right, I drink latte.
With shit on the side.
Yeah,
I went too far.
And so you
By the way, I don't think that the shitting of, at first I was like, yeah, the dog shit himself, and then I thought, no, dogs... they'll eat anything. So I don't think that was what stopped
the coyote
from eating him.
No, like, no, she was just saying that the dog was dirty.
Right, but at first I was like, oh, it's a brilliant defense mechanism, like that fish that puts out ink.
Oh, right.
It's like he pooped himself so he wouldn't be desirable.
Right.
But that would still make him desirable.
That's like if I'm on a date and I don't want to go anywhere, I just don't shave my legs because that's not going to happen then. My pants aren't coming off. It's like that.
Yeah.
I try that and I still just let it happen.
You still just
warn him. I'm like, sorry, I didn't shave my legs.
Yeah,
and
some girls might be like, "Well, he won't want to." It's like, "Oh, he's still going to want to." Why don't you try just shitting yourself?
Yeah, let's shit ourselves.
Hey, have you ever dog sitted again?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Do you have this on your resume that I have saved dog from coyote?
No, I should though.
But you didn't really do it. It happened on your watch.
No, you go. I have a connection with Jesus, and he will save your dog if it gets taken away.
Listen, I'm really happy they gave you $100, man.
An extra $100. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You deserve it.
So sweet.
I mean, that kind of stress, that kind of anguish.
Now they have a fenced in area for the dog.
Yeah, they should have had that in the first place, especially with a tiny dog. I mean,
I was going to say, that guy doesn't play tennis, does he? Because there's a guy up at Griffith Park that lets his dog off leash.
Yeah.
No.
That guy, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if I lived up there, I'd have a German Shepherd, something where the coyote comes in and goes, no, I understand that, but at least a coyote, because coyotes are like criminals, they go to the most vulnerable thing. So if he sees a German Shepherd and he sees a little white dog, he's going after the little white dog.
I would think so.
He's not looking for a challenge.
I would think so. But also, not to give anybody out there the wrong idea, the coyotes are not generally aggressive, and they don't like necessarily come after people. It's just that sometimes here in Los Angeles, it gets so dry that they come down from the mountains, and they definitely will go after
you. See, but I don't necessarily
think... you were a starving coyote.
Yeah, but you know what?
What are you going to do?
But those coyotes that come out that I described that come out of Griffith Park, I don't think those are starving coyotes. They just think that it's... Of course they do. That it's all just one big place they live. And if you go over, like, hey, buddy, if you go over there, you'll get a cat for dinner.
Yeah.
To them, the cats and dogs in the neighborhood, they're not trying to attack you. They don't have an agenda. They're just like, I eat smaller animals. This is where the smaller animals are.
Right.
So it's up to you to, like, know that.
It's the food chain, is it not?
As Louis C.K. says, the fact that we got out of the food chain is amazing. Everybody else dies like, I'm getting eaten.
Yeah.
And we just get to die in a bed.
Amber Tozer, I saw you on YouTube doing a little dancing at Pink's Hot Dogs. What's happening?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I haven't made these videos in a while, but I used to make dance videos in public. I have 12 of them.
You're a really good dancer.
Oh, thanks.
And so you would just go to public locations, have somebody shoot you, and you just dance.
Yeah.
Just make people smile.
Yeah.
It's like Ellen DeGeneres on the road.
Right.
On location.
I've made one in Cambodia, Vietnam, Bangkok.
That's fantastic.
New York, San Francisco.
And what are they called?
They're just.
Were they Amber Rocks or something, or just Amber Dancing? Just
they're just. I don't have a name for them. I title each video, but I mash up two words. Like I mash up the location and the word dancing or dancer.
For example,
so
Cambodia.
Okay, I just pulled it up. It's the hot dancer.
The hot dancer in front
like
of the hot
dog.
Oh,
but dancing.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And what about Cambodia?
What did I call the Cambodia one? The Sim
the
Reaper.
The Killing Fields dancer? No.
The Sim Reaper.
That's
no, because it was in Sim Reap. It wasn't in Phnom Penh. Yeah.
Oh, that's a whole different place.
I actually did make one in Phnom Penh, but I didn't post it.
And what was that one called? Oh, wow. Wow.
So, why don't you go to Auschwitz and make one? That'd be hilarious.
You're bringing all this love into these really desperate places.
But it's funny because I've made them in L.A. and New York, and everyone is pretty annoyed by me just because, oh, look, another person who needs attention or whatever.
Yeah.
But in Southeast Asia, they were just, like, smiling and into it and sort of...
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's interesting.
And so you're such a creative person because you have these different outlets. So you do stand-up comedy and now you're doing these dancing things. Then you're big on Twitter and now you have an animated series. And so, I mean, I find that personally that I tend to have a lot of irons in the fire, as it were.
Yeah.
And you feel like that?
I think it's sort of necessary because, you know, it's hard to make a living as a stand-up and then also... stand-up's not necessarily my favorite outlet, so I think it's good to try a lot of different stuff.
You don't know what's going to stick.
Yeah, and if it's hard because when you're passionate just about one project and it doesn't go or it's stalling, you might go bananas.
Big trouble, right?
Yeah.
You might pick up that liquor bottle, man.
Yeah.
You gotta put a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, you have to keep busy.
And you're from Colorado.
Yes.
And do you go back and visit your family?
Yes, I go back a lot because my sister just had a baby.
And so you're an aunt.
Oh, my God.
And that changes everything,
yes,
right?
Yes, I go back like once every 6 weeks now.
And how old is the baby?
18 months.
And don't you just want to buy it things all the time?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. She's so... I just want to hang out with her. I'm not like a big... I don't want to buy her junk because I know I've seen my sister's... It just like ends up in my sister's basement. And my sister's like, please do not... So I try to... I'd rather, like, spend all day at the park with her than buy her, like, a crappy
sweet.
Toy.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Well, also, there are so many beautiful toys you can get for, ongoing, you know, for a niece. Like a little pearl necklace thing, you add a pearl. Or those are sweet little gifts. Or my brother has given my daughter a couple of savings bonds and stuff like that.
Yes.
So you can, those sorts of things really are nice, too.
I would love to, donate to, like, a college.
Yeah, except when the kid is 5 and 6 and you think you're going to take some donation card to their birthday party, good luck with that. And Amber.
Yeah, that's why I came up with the... I just wait until Alabama tells mom to tell me what to get her.
Because Alabama loves Uncle Hannes more than... My daughter loves him so much. You can't even
I work at Universal at the theme park, so I work with the Simpsons.
And that's her favorite.
So I get to go and... I guess Lisa Simpson.
He's gotten her all the dolls, all the stuffed dolls, like this big of dolls. And let me tell you, you walk into a birthday party with Lisa Simpson doll, you know, 24 inches, it's going to get you a little more street
Lisa
cred.
Lisa Simpson t-shirt. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Then a savings bond.
But how long does she love Lisa Simpson doll before it ends up?
You know, honestly, Simpsons is really a hot button in my house.
Okay.
She loves it. It's
cool.
It's already had quite longevity since she's been like 2. She's been a big Simpsons fan.
That's
so
good.
But other things come and go very quickly.
Yes.
Very quickly. She has this big dollhouse, as little girls will, and she puts everybody in the dollhouse. So she has all the Olivia characters, which are pigs. Then she has all the Sophia the First characters, which is royalty. Then she has all the Simpsons characters, the little rubber things. They're all in there, and they all live in this big dollhouse all together in this crazy reality world that I would
like
to film.
I like it.
That's great.
It's taking the universes where you get your Marvel universe and your DC universe and they cross over to get the nerds out there.
And dinosaurs. So she's got the dinosaurs
of course.
With the royalty and the Simpsons and it's adorable.
Adorable.
Tell us a little bit, and then I want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy if you want to.
Yes.
But tell us about the animated series.
The animated series has been very exciting and scary and upsetting and then exciting again.
Sounds like the creative process.
Yeah. It's about my family and me as a 21-year-old who lives in sort of a hometown that she just wants to get out of. Sort of this like white trash hometown.
Is it Colorado?
Yeah, it's sort of based on my hometown, but my hometown's not like white trash. It's just
it's not south. Is it a South Park kind of thing or is it?
No, it's
now you're talking
real.
About animated Colorado.
It's like it's an animated series, but it feels like a Roseanne meets.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
more like King of the Hill, like real characters.
More King of the Hill, sort of Daria. Do you remember Daria?
I do. Are you an animator as well?
No,
you're a writer.
Just writing it.
And who do you work with to animate?
Well, I sold it to Fox ADHD, which is the late night animation block on
How
Fox.
How exciting! Yes,
but it. It's on hold. It's not getting picked up, but I'm meeting with Fox directly later, like in May. So they bought one script, but the late night animation block, they do quarter hour, and it's sort of crazy, like monsters and aliens. And this
I
is
like
so
that
real.
Quarter hour thing. Do you like that?
Yeah,
I like that.
I do.
How long will the Tozer show be?
It's half hour.
Half hour,
So it's sort of a struggle to fit in their block, that late night animation block, because it's not what they do, but they did buy a script, and now I'm... I'm still talking to Fox.
But listen,
about it.
This is exciting. You are a young, fresh voice. You have ideas. You have a following. You have a platform, as it were. You're a perfect shoo-in.
I hope so.
No, I'm just saying.
I wish I had your perspective.
No, but I mean, I've met a lot of talented people in this town. I include myself in there. No, but it's like you have to just keep putting it out there, and sooner or later, the stars will align. But at least you're not waiting to be cast. I mean, if you just sit around waiting to be cast, that's trouble.
Oh, well,
you're creating, you're making content.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be cast in anything.
Well, but I'm just saying, like, in general out here, you kind of have to make your content.
Yeah.
You have to get your own product going.
Yeah, I think it's really important. And I sometimes stall because I get so obsessed about what the results are, like, what's the point? And I can't do that because then I just procrastinate and, like, I get in this, like, whole, like, what's the point? You just have to,
it's just constant motion. You have to remain in motion like a shark.
You're preaching to the choir.
And if you love it, though, I feel like I'm so excited when I love something because I don't give a shit who likes it or whatever. Right. You know, I just enjoy doing it. But it's difficult to get to that.
No, I do. I feel that way. And we've been working on Storyworthy now for 4 years. And it's definitely my baby. And it's my passion. Yeah. And it's what I want and what I do. But money, in terms of making it correlate, makes it very difficult. Mm-hmm. And so, it looks like all roses and beauty. And, oh, you're so creative. And you're out there doing LA. You're doing your own thing. But at the end of the day, the rent's coming due. And mama don't have the bill ready. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oddly enough, landlords do not take episodes.
And I have a child.
I know.
And so
oh
it starts
God,
getting really...
Jokes?
Yeah, so it gets a little muddied, but we try to look on the bright side.
It does, and you get sort of caught up in like self-worth. Like, if you're not making money, are you worthy? For me,
right.
I'm like, oh, well.
And you look around and you think, well, that guy, that's not funny at all. Or that show's not good. And how'd that happen?
Yeah.
And why'd they get a job? And who cast that? And how'd that get booked?
Crazy making. But crazy making in your brain.
You can't think all that in your head. You have to just stay on your path. Because really, I think at the end of the day, there's room for everybody.
Yeah.
Come on in. The water's warm.
I agree.
More podcasts.
Because we
more
peed
better.
In it.
Right.
Because I'm sorry. What? Yes.
Hey, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Sure.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Vacation. I once went to Mauritius, which is... off the coast of South Africa, in the middle of the Indian Ocean, sort of by Madagascar. And I was there and visiting a friend and her husband. And while I was there, I got The Amazing Race was shooting an episode. And I got hired to be Phil Kogan, who's the host.
Yeah.
I got hired to be his assistant for 5 days. And it was amazing. He was so nice. And they put me up in this fancy, fancy hotel. And I made enough money to pay for half my trip. And it was the most... It was really incredible. So, and I got to like go on location and see the race happen. And Mauritius, the people are so nice and sweet. So it was my favorite thing. Yeah.
Wait a minute, how did you happen? You just ran into them and they said we'd like someone with an American accent to do this job, or
my friend's husband owned a local production company.
Right.
And they hire all local people, of course, because they can't fly.
Right.
It's the cheapest thing. So they would hire local production companies and local people to work with them.
That is so funny. I can't even tell you. It's like an LA moment in Mauritius.
I know. I'm like, I go to the furthest place from America and they're shooting an American
reality show. How do you spell that?
Mauritius.
It's the continent of Africa, and that's but the country's name is Mauritius.
Mauritius.
Wow.
It's off the coast of South Africa, but I think France.
Oh, so it's an island.
What are your friends doing there?
My friend married.
Is a drug lord.
Jacques Cousteau.
A French Mauritian guy who had citizenship there, but he doesn't have an accent. They used to live in New York. I was friends with them in New York.
Okay,
and then. They moved to Mauritius.
A great opportunity to visit somebody or to take a trip like that when you know somebody there.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I could have done it otherwise.
And then to book the Amazing Race gig and be this guy's assistant. What a blast.
And Phil was so nice. Like, I was worried that he was going to be sort of a diva. He was so down to
earth. What's he
going
to be complaining about? He's staying in that hotel. He's shooting a show. What's his problem?
He was so great. I didn't have to do anything. I got him a bottle of water.
Right.
And made one phone call for him.
Wow.
It was amazing.
You're the perfect assistant.
If you need nothing done, come to Amber Tozer.
I'll do
She'll just start dancing at a moment's notice, and you're like, can I get a water? Hang on, I'm still dancing.
Did you get some dancing in Marisha?
No, I didn't make those videos till after
Later, yeah. Well, this is awesome. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
We really appreciate you. That was a great story.
Thank you.
I was sweating. I was getting all excited about that coyote. I couldn't believe that dog came back.
Oh, thank God.
I kind of thought the dog was going to come back. Otherwise, it was going to be the most depressing story in the world.
Yeah, I don't think
And you don't seem like you would tell us the most depressing story in the world.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up right about now. I'd like to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Anthony Bench and Sean Merrick. Do you see those hardworking men over there?
I know. I don't understand what this hard work looks like.
They are men that get
actually,
paid
Sean
in
right
podcasting.
Now is playing a video game, but at some point he will be working
That's
hard.
Part of his research, Hans.
Oh, right, okay.
I'd also like to thank John Thomas Griffith. You know, he's the guy that wrote the theme song.
I have no idea who that is. No,
I'd also like to thank
He was once carried off by a coyote when you paid because you were losing your tennis match, and you get a coyote, listen, go drag that guy in the woods. Right?
I'd also like to thank our storyteller tonight, Amber Tozer. Thank you very much again for coming.
Thank you.
And on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.